Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you in the name of Jesus. We are so blessed to be here this morning. I am grateful that God has allowed us another opportunity for prayer and praise and magnifying his holy name. Today, God willing, today we will be taking communion. Amen. But before we do communion, I'd like to extend our prayers to Pastor Jeff and his wife and his family. And I need them to understand that we are praying with them and for them, and God is holding Pastor Jeff in his arms, in his presence. And while my wife was praying for me before we went live, I was praying for Pastor Jeff, and we need to keep his environment with praise and worship. If it's possible to keep his atmosphere full of the Word of God and praise, and to keep back anything that would try to harm him, keep the atmosphere filled with the presence of God. Let your praises, don't go in talking about all this and all that. Go in worshiping, magnifying, and praising God for his complete and absolute deliverance in the name of Jesus. You don't want to go into an atmosphere where God is working and dragging demons in with you. If you got something going on, you stay at home. But when you enter into the presence where Pastor Jeff and his wife are, you need to enter with praise and worship and thanksgiving, knowing that God will protect those that he has called according to his purpose. And we want to pray for that family right now in the name of Jesus. I know, Father, there are a lot of people that don't know who Pastor Jeff is, but you know who he is. You know who his family is. You know what he's dealing with. You know what the situation is. And Father, you are able to move on their behalf, because it is not just him, but those that are affected by him, and those that are being ministered by him, and those that are been called according to your purpose, that you have used him to draw others unto you. And not just him, but his spouse, his better half, his rib. You have done great things for that family. We're praying that you will continue to move and give him that amazing testimony, and help them to understand that people around the world, people that he's never met, people that they don't know, are praying for them in the name of Jesus. Let your perfect will be done. Lift up that family. Anoint them with your presence. Anoint them with your spirit. Let the healing complete itself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I also want to give a shout out to my friend, our sister in Christ, Shelly V in New York. Be encouraged, and to your son. Be encouraged, be lifted up. God is on your side. Amen? All right, so we're going to go ahead and we want to do some communion. Amen. Should I wait until Pastor Drea gets here? Maybe? Okay. All right, well, we'll wait a couple minutes, but we won't wait all day. Amen. So let's pray. Hallelujah. Amen. I had some glasses, but I don't know what I did with them. Amen. Here they are in my pocket. Amen. That's all right. Your day's coming. Amen. Your day is coming. Amen. The Lord put something in my spirit the other day, and I thought it was pretty awesome. I've read this scripture for years and years and years, Revelation 3:20. It says, and Jesus says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. And for a lot of years, or at least the way that we were taught, Jesus standing outside the church door, or spiritually standing outside the church waiting for the church to receive him. Is that kind of how you got that? Abigail, is that kind of how you got that? All right. And so for years and years and years, that's what we thought. And he said, he told me this week, he said, no, you're the church. I'm standing outside you. God have people that have not received him yet. Does that make sense? He's standing, the temple. We are the temple of the Most High God. And those that know God, he says, I'm waiting for you to receive me. He's not waiting for this. It's not what we thought. Because God is very, very, very personable. He's very, and remember, this is not religion, this is relationship. And every relationship is personal. Is that right? And so our God, extremely personable. And he says, you're the church. I'm standing outside waiting for you to allow me in to into you so that he can clean things up, so he can straighten things out, so he can fix stuff. We're so busy living in religion until we fail to recognize that God wants relationship. And that's been a big problem with the churches. And don't think the enemy is not using that for his own benefit. God is saying, you're the church. I'm waiting for you to allow me to heal you. I'm waiting for you to allow me to sup with you. I'm waiting for you, old church, to allow me to enter into your personal space, into your personal life, into your atmosphere, into your environment, your family, your situation, and let me be God. That's what he says. So he's knocking. He's not knocking on this building. He's knocking on your personal door. It is your responsibility as a child. If you know God, it's your responsibility to let him in. If you know God, it is your responsibility to let him in. Don't think that he's talking about the church as a whole, as an organization. He's talking to his children. He's talking to you. Amen? Amen. All right, so don't Revelation 3 and 20. Pay attention to that. God is not talking to the congregation. He's talking to you. Amen. Amen. My poor wife, she's dealing with, a lot of smoke and fires and stuff out here in California, and the soot and the ash and stuff is going, and so it's causing issues. Poor Abigail, she's got some issues. And so y'all pray for us that... because they act like they're trying to kill us out here. So y'all pray for us. Amen.
Amen. I'm good. I'm a little emotional today. And I'm going to skip around a little bit on the prayers.
Okay.
First one is Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan says he wants to die. He's been dealing with mental illness, he's been dealing with mental illness and a lack of a sense of purpose.
Wow. And he wants to die.
Yes.
What's his name?
Jordan.
Jordan, let me tell you guys something. That spirit of suicide is a real thing. It's a real demon. It's a real problem. And it has found its way inside the church. It has found its way amongst God's people. But we're going to rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Let me explain something to you. What's his name? Jordan?
Jordan.
Jordan and any other... It is a silent killer. Believers feeling hopeless and in despair. I'm not saying that you don't know God, you're not saved because you're dealing with stuff. All right. What I'm saying is that we fail to recognize that in the house that there are believers that are dealing with suicidal thoughts and issues. There are believers in the house that want to die because a lot of them feel like they're alone. They feel like they have no way out. I every time I move forward, I'm pushed back. My family don't get it. My spouse don't get it. My kids don't get it. I feel like I'm swimming in an ocean by myself. I'm praying, but I don't feel the answers from God. I don't know what else to do. The only thing I can do is try to hurry up and meet God. That's not the answer. That is not what God wants from you. That is not God's will for your life. You need to understand that you are under attack. Every person that's dealing with that spirit of suicide, whether you are in the church or not, whether you know Christ or not, whether you are a believer or not, if you're dealing with the spirit of suicide, if that's taken over your desire, that's not you. That's a spirit that has attached itself to you, that's trying to get you to do that. That's not God. Sometimes that's we go into atmospheres, people's houses, we connect with people. People think that when they, for lack of a better word, hook up, that it's just a physical thing. It is not just a physical thing. When you hook up with people, that spirit, you share the spirits that are attached or dwelling in that person. You become one now. And so whatever they're dealing with, it's very possible that you can also be dealing with some of the same things. Yeah. Because it's not just a physical thing and then it's all over and that's it. When you do that, you are combining spirits. And so if that person or those persons were dealing with suicidal thoughts, and you hook up with this person that's also dealing with that, you now adopt whatever that person was dealing with. It is not black and white. It is not just a physical thing. Everything has to do with the spirit realm. Everything. Everything has to do with the spirit realm. But the enemy wants you to think that it's just a physical thing. It's not. Which is why God has set rules in place to protect you from these types of things. You're a believer and you're running around from this person to that person, and you're going to gravitate. You're going to catch something that you weren't expecting. And then you wonder why your life is so messed up. What did I do? Think back. Have you picked up any spirits along the way? You need to remember that. It's not just physical. I'm almost tempted to say the physical part is the least part.
Amen.
It's the spiritual part. Yes. You picked up spirits. Yes. And the worst thing about it is you are unaware of what you picked up. Yes. And so it can have its way with you and you be oblivious to what's going on because you don't get it.
Jesus.
God put these things in place to protect us. And you're so busy fighting against God, you don't realize you're stabbing your own self.
Jesus.
You don't realize that you're killing your own self. He's just trying to protect you. When your parents told you don't run out, don't chase the train tracks, don't play on the train tracks, don't play in the water, in the ocean, when they tell you, it's not because they're trying to be mean. They understand what you don't get. They understand playing on train tracks can get you killed. They understand you can't swim, playing in the water can drown. You don't get it because you're 3, you're 6, you're 9. You don't get it. God is trying to help. He's trying to help us. So I wasn't saying all of that for Joel.
Jordan.
I'm saying that to the masses. What I'm saying to Jordan is that is a spirit that we are rebuking in the name of Jesus. We are rebuking that spirit in the name of Jesus. We're going to call out the spirit in the name of Jesus. We call out that spirit of suicide, that spirit of depression, that spirit of death. God, we're not shunning you. Father, we call it out in the name of Jesus. We rebuke you by the blood of Jesus. We condemn that spirit and the presence of that spirit in the name of Jesus. Suicide is not of God.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Suicide is not of God.
Hallelujah.
It is a plan for the enemy to drag you to hell where they are, where he is, where you have absolutely no hope for real.
Jesus.
And no chance.
Jesus.
We call that spirit, we condemn that spirit in the name of Jesus, and we bind peace and joy and power and strength and the blood of Jesus to Jeffrey and to Jordan and to every person that's dealing with that spirit of depression suicide, and death.
Thank you, Jesus.
We bind the love of God to you, and we loose anything that comes against the word of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm praying for that family. I'm praying for those that are calling for prayer. And if you feel like you have no purpose in God, that means you haven't been taught well. Because every person that calls on the name of Jesus has a purpose. Every person that believes God, every person that trusts God has a purpose. Your problem is you don't know how to find your purpose. You don't know. But see, you have a direct line to God. If you are a believer in the Most High God, you have a direct line to God. You have a direct, when you call, he answers the phone. You need to seek your purpose out from God. It's in the scriptures.
Yes.
Every person has a place. Let me explain this to you. As far as I'm concerned, a toenail, for the most part, don't have a whole lot of purpose. Okay? Until you lose it. And then you realize it was there for a reason. Even though you cut it and paint it and chop it up and ignore it, it has a purpose. Just because you, it's like the tonsils. It has a purpose. Just because you don't know what the purpose is doesn't mean they don't have one. Why would God put it in there if it didn't have a purpose? God is not wasteful. God will not allow you to be a part of his kingdom if you did not have a purpose. God will not allow you to elevate his name if you didn't have a purpose. God would not be trying to teach you who he is if you didn't have a purpose. God does not waste his time. Every time God calls someone, touch someone, speak to someone, pull someone in, you have a purpose. And at the very, the Bible says, go into the highways and hedges and forcibly persuade people to come unto me. That's a purpose.
Hallelujah.
Go into the highways and hedges and compel. Compel means forcibly persuade. Do whatever is necessary to help somebody understand who God is. That's a purpose.
Yes.
Living your life as a believer of light, a believer of the Most High God, living your life so that other people can see Christ in you is a purpose.
Yes, Lord.
Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's a purpose.
Yes, Lord.
He said the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. God needs laborers. That's a purpose.
Yes, it is.
You have a purpose.
Yes,
you just been hanging out with the wrong people.
Thank you, Jesus.
You have a purpose.
Yes.
Don't let Satan make you think you don't have a purpose. You have a purpose to the point where you don't need anybody else to do that except you. You can study to show yourself approved. You can allow God to speak to you so that you'll be a mouthpiece for him, for others. You have a purpose, and you don't need 1,000 people to join you in your purpose. I can't do it unless I've got 5 or 6 other people with you. No. The purpose starts with you. And if God wants to bring other people into your atmosphere, he knows where you live. He can do that. The purpose starts with you. You have a purpose. Every person that believes in Christ Jesus, every person that has says yes to God, every person that believes that he is who he said he is, you have a purpose.
Yes.
Amen.
I want to encourage them to read the book of Psalms,
mm-hmm.
because it does display someone who dealt with the struggles mentally and emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
The minister, David, the minister, he writes about the different struggles he had,
mm-hmm.
you know, even questioning whether or not his purpose,
yes.
he understood his purpose. And so reading the book of Psalms, not just reading it, but sitting down,
studying it,
study, pray, journaling through it, and allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to you will help you get a sense. I mean, that struggling mentally, emotionally, that is not, that's not something that, you know, people will say, well, you're not saved because you struggle mentally,
mm-hmm.
emotionally. There are so many prophets in the Bible and so
yes.
many ministers who struggle.
Yes.
But moving in God's purpose,
yes.
in spite of that physical and mental struggle. Moving in God's purpose in spite of what's going on in you will help you really see God moving in you. So I want to encourage anyone who's struggling with mental illness or depression, go through the book of Psalms, study it, journal it, pray it, praise through it,
and
see how God can speak to you through that.
Amen. Did we cover that? Did we cover that for them?
Yes.
Okay. What you got, Pastor Gia?
There's a Pastor Joe that's suffering with COVID-19. Doctors aren't very positive, but we are praying for healing.
Yes.
We know better than that. Amen.
What's his name?
Pastor Joe. Yes.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Pastor Joe, we're going to be praying for you in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Pastor Joe, God's got his hands on his people. God's got his hands on his people. God knows where you are. He knows everything that's going on with us and around us. Be encouraged. Be encouraged, for God is worthy to be praised. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we bless you. We thank you for your soldier, Pastor Joe.
Yes.
So many pastors and missionaries and mothers, preachers and teachers, evangelists, deacons, members, believers that are dealing with this and other things, but you are able. You said, ask and it shall be what? Given. Seek and ye shall what? Find. Knock and the door shall be open. These are the things that you have commanded us to do. And we're praying for Pastor Joe and for his family and for other believers that are dealing with this and things like this. We are praying for those followers of the Most High God right now as we speak. Let your soldiers, let your presence, let your glory, let your fighting angels go out and protect and conquer the enemy that has attacked them in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Greater is he that's in us than anything that is in the world.
Yes.
God is greater than COVID.
Yes. Hallelujah.
God is greater than depression. God is greater than mental illness. Our God, the blood of Jesus died to cover all of that. The blood of Jesus died to cover it all. We are healed by his stripes. We are healed by his word. We are healed in the name of Jesus. And we pray healing over Pastor Joe. We pray healing over his family that's dealing with what's going on. I rebuke the enemy on every hand in the name of Jesus. And if there is anything in the atmosphere of Pastor Joe and his family that is not like God, that does not elevate God, remove it in the name of Jesus and enter into the presence and the glory of God. We bless you, Father God, and we thank you. Thank you for his healing. Thank you for his deliverance. Thank you for conquering all the things that come against him, and let him preach the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
Going back to that spirit of depression.
Yes.
We have a new Christian, Christopher, that just gave his life to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And he's asking, he is asking for prayer for deliverance over PTSD and depression and anxiety. But as Sister Julie was sharing, that's a spirit.
PTSD,
All that's a spirit. And there's a spirit of depression.
Yes.
And so Pastor Nicole's advice is very strong and very relevant for this prayer assignment as well.
Amen. The people, military people, police officers, medical people, they're dealing with a level of stress that the average person has no idea. They have had to, God bless you, I got your book. It's over there somewhere. They're dealing with things that would blow the average person's mind. We need to pray for them. Because a lot of them, they may not be aware of what they're dealing with. They may not understand the spiritual implications of what they're dealing with. They may not have any clue as to what's really going on. And so their body is simply reacting to what it thinks it knows. Amen. It is our job as believers in Christ Jesus to pray for those people that don't know or are in a position where they are unable to pray. Because sometimes you can know, but you are not in a position to pray. Amen. I know y'all never been there. That's never happened to y'all. You can be in a position where I know God, but I'm not in a position to pray. And so those of us that are able, it is your duty to pray for those that are in need. That's your duty as a believer. That's a commandment. That's your job. We're praying for those that a new believer attacked right out the gate.
Man,
Jesus. Just shot at right out the gate. We're praying. What's his name? That believer, that new believer, what's their name?
Chris.
And every Chris out there, every believer, especially the new believers.
Yeah.
Because see, you didn't really know what you were getting into.
Yes.
You didn't really understand. Well, see, we are guilty of telling you how awesome it is to be in Christ, which it is.
Yes.
But we neglect to tell you that it's a war, and it's a real war, and the enemy is using real weapons, and he's playing for keeps. We neglect to tell you that when you're on the altar. And so when you walk out that church door for the first time, and the enemy goes, so many people never make it back.
Jesus.
They never make it back.
Jesus.
Because nobody told them, okay, now that you are equipped, this is what you got to do.
Yes.
These are the scriptures you need to read.
Yes.
These are the people you need to let go. This is the atmosphere you need to stay out of. This is the atmosphere you need to create through the Holy Spirit where you live. Now we need to tell them how to survive the attack that they're about to get hit with.
Yes.
And we don't do it.
Yes.
And from my experience, the church as a whole hasn't done it for years. I don't know what happened before I got here, but since I've been in church in the 70s, it hasn't happened. And so God, we're praying. We're praying for those, my God, PTSD and the believers just being bombarded. And I need every believer to know that these are spirits.
Yes.
This is not what God made you. These are spirits. And I believe that these are spirits that have attached itself to you and have not entered into you, because if they were actually entered into you as a part of who you are, you'd already be dead.
Jesus.
But because they have attached themselves to you, they're riding to get you to run, to get you to fall into that ditch. Amen. Everybody understand that? This is a real thing. This is a real battle. It is the best decision you've ever made was to come into Christ.
Yes.
Now you need to understand how you fight while you're in Christ, how you defend yourself while you're in Christ, how you stay afloat while you're in Christ, how important it is for you to stay repentive while you're in Christ. God, how important it is for you to study, not just read, but study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Because if you know what God has for your life, you can't be taken in by the enemy. If you don't know your rights when you get arrested, then you have no rights. They can tell you what they want to tell you. You don't know the difference. If you don't know your rights in God, the enemy will play you as if though you don't have any, because you have been so busy listening to the preacher, you have never studied for yourself. And so now you can't go to church. Now you can't hang out with all those people. Now you're lost, because I never studied the gospel for myself. I only took somebody else's word for it. Now I got to sink or swim. So maybe God allowed some of this to happen so you could actually start studying on your own. So you could actually build a relationship with God on your own. So you can believe that God is who he said he is because you know for yourself that God is who he said he is, and not because they were singing and dancing on the pulpit and you just picked it up. Now you know for yourself that God is who he said he is. Father God, in the name of Jesus, for all of those that are in need, all of those, Lord, that are suffering, all those that are dealing, all those who are fighting, Lord, you must stay in the fight. You cannot give up and you cannot give in. You don't have to go a mile a day, but you cannot back up one inch. You have, you at worst case scenario, stand still. But whatever you do, don't back up. It is necessary for you to move forward. You have to stay in the fight. As long as you're in the fight, you win. The Bible says the race is not given to the swift, neither to the strong, but to the one that stays in the fight, to the one that endures to the end. You're in. You got to stay in the fight. You cannot get out of the fight. You have to repent. You have to pray. You have to study. You have to get your own personal relationship with God. You have to stay in the fight, because once you get out of the fight, it's all over for you. It's all over for you. You may not be looking like running like everybody else, but you're still running. You don't have to run like me. You just have to run like you. The key word here is run. Don't be like Lot's wife. Lot's wife looked back. It's not that she turned her head and looked back to see what she missed. She longed for the lifestyle that she used to have. But now I have to leave the city that's on fire, the people that I used to hang out with, the things I used to do. And she longed. She desired to be where she was, but she was forced out. She looked back. She desired her own way of life. You can't do that. Don't look back. When God saved you, he saved you to save you. He saved you because he knew what destruction looks like, and you don't. Yes. It's not his plan for you to know what destruction is. But some of us are beating the gate down trying to figure it out. God never intended for you to live through the destruction that's about to happen to this world. But some of you feel the need to be there. Don't let the enemy play you like that. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, all those that are in need, all those that must have prayer, all those that are fighting for their lives, all those that are fighting for their eternity, all those that are staying in the fight, encourage them, build them up, lift them up, give them what they need so they can be what you called and created them to be. Strengthen them, their atmosphere, strengthen their praise, strengthen their prayer, strengthen their study, strengthen their mind, strengthen their heart, even in their dreams, strengthen them. And when they wake up walking in the light of God, strengthen them in the name of Jesus so that they will stay in the race. You must stay. You don't have to run like everybody else, but you have to be counted. You have to stay in the race. If you stay in the race, salvation is yours. You don't have to look like everybody else. You just got to stay in the race. Is that simple? Does that make sense? You, as long as you stay on your knees, you're good. Lord, I messed up again. Did you repent? Yeah. Did you mean it? Yeah. Then get up.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Don't repent for something you made plans to do again at 3 o'clock.
Jesus.
That ain't repenting. You don't want fooled by that.
Yes.
Amen. I'm repenting because I know I'm going to do it again. Then you're not repenting. You're just moving your lips. Mm-hmm. God's not listening to that. You're the only person fooled by that lie. And you're not even sorry. See, repentance don't mean I'm sorry, because you could be sorry you got caught. You could be sorry it wasn't better. Repentance means, Lord, I blew it. And not only did I blow it, I really blew it. You were right and I was wrong. I don't want to do this anymore. Take me away from this so I don't have to pray this prayer anymore. That's repentance. Lord, I'm sorry. You know. Yeah, I know. I got a lot of people just like you. I know. And I prepared a place for people just like you. You want to play? God says, I'm not fooled. You can't fool me. He's God. You can't play him. You're the only one fooled by your lie. You're the only one. Satan knows it's a lie. God knows it's a lie. And people that know you're lying. You're the only one that don't know. Amen. Don't do it. Don't do it. Because everything pans out at the end. Amen.
We are on a vein. I just have to say it.
Yes, ma'am.
This was a. This came from Barbara. She has a 2-year-old granddaughter.
Is that our Barbara?
Our Barbara. Oh, no. Oh, not our Barbara. No.
Oh, okay.
I know this name, though. I didn't want to say her. Oh. I recognize this name.
Okay.
Yeah. Unless she tells us too specifically, I didn't want to say why.
Oh, thank you. Thank
okay.
you.
But the 2-year-old.
Come here, Pastor. Why are you way back there? They can't hear you.
Oh, goodness. The 2-year-old daughter woke up screaming and crying for 3 hours.
Oh.
Her parents aren't saved.
Oh, my God. Mm. And how old is the baby?
2 years old. Tell me this.
You think that what you do only affects you.
Jesus.
What you do affects the
grandson.
Grandson.
Grandson. Yes. Thank you, baby.
Grandson.
What you do does not just affect you. What you do affects the spirit realm, which affects you. Mm-hmm. When you do things and it affects the spirit realm, it affects the things that are in your atmosphere.
Yes.
People don't get that. You think, oh, it's just me. I'm only hurting myself. No! See, you're so busy wrapped up in you, you don't see anybody else. You're all about you. It's all about me. I want my this. I want my that. I do it my way. I. There was a six-eyed fool in the 16th chapter of Luke. I will rebuild my barns. I will fill them up with this. I will do this and I will do that. And I will take care of my this. And Lazarus couldn't even get the crumbs that fell from his table. And at the end of that day, God sent angels to collect Lazarus and put them and carried him to Abraham's bosom. And the Bible said, didn't even give him a name. The Bible said, and the rich man died.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't important enough to have his name mentioned. Because he was so wrapped up in him. He made a God out of himself. I'm going to read the 16th chapter of Luke. You'll figure it out. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And see, a lot of people, especially church people, have made a God out of themselves. It's all about you. It's all about you. The spirit realm is affected by your actions. The spirit realm reacts to what you do. All right, y'all? That's why God tells us how to speak. You speak life into your environment. You speak life into your situation because the spirit realm is listening to what you speak because we are like God. God spoke and the world was created. God's word went out and created what he spoke. We are like God. When we speak, things happen. Even if you don't see it, it happens somewhere. And so now this 2-year-old baby has to deal with what the parents have spoken into the atmosphere where that child lives. And now the child is being tormented by spirits that she knows nothing about. He knows nothing about that he had nothing to do with. And now that child has to live until somebody prays it off of him. And the parents think it's no big deal. Oh, they probably had gas. No, they had parents like you. That's the problem. The parents are the problem. Father God, in the name of Jesus, that poor baby, your baby, your child. Take my watch off, please. Your baby, your child, your loved one, our loved one. That baby belongs to the body of Christ. The Achon. Save that child from his parents. Change the atmosphere for that child. It is not the child's fault. Change the atmosphere for that child. Give that baby peace. Give that child, and not just that child,
yes, Lord,
but children that are also other children that are dealing with spirits. Children that have been kidnapped and trafficked and dealing with, my God, I don't blame you for destroying the world. I don't blame you. I don't blame you. It will not be destroyed by water again. He's going to burn it up this time. That's how you get rid of stuff. You burn it up. Amen. You can't really drown a germ, but you can burn him up. He's going to burn it up. I get it. I understand why he's going to do it. Because the evil out there, God has protected us and shielded us from so much. Save that child, Lord. And children like that child. And children that are being abused, and children that are being trafficked, and children that are being hurt, and children that are being brought up to not believe who God is. And children that are being attacked by spirits and they know nothing about anything. Protect them, Father. Our prayer moves on. Protect them. Protect them. Protect them. And shake up those parents. Shake up those guardians. Shake up whoever is necessary. Whoever over those children. Peace we command for those children. And judgment for those who refuse to change. In Jesus' name, amen. What time is it, somebody?
We got about 13 minutes.
13 minutes.
And the next five prayers are all dealing with healing.
Yes.
So I'd like to go ahead and share what they need prayer for.
Yes, yes.
So Hilda is praying for Granny Dorothy went to emergency surgery for a spinal femur break.
A femur.
Femur. Sorry.
That's okay.
Please pray for her healing.
Granny, what's her name?
This is Granny Dorothy.
Granny Dorothy and that femur in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you're able, Father. Yes. What else you got, Pastor?
We got Kathy.
Kathy.
We need a knee replacement.
Kathy.
My husband is disabled and unable to help me much.
Oh, my God.
I need to recover. Need the recovery to go quickly and smoothly in the name of Jesus.
Father, what's her name?
Her name is Kathy.
Kathy, God is able to heal and deliver, and our prayers are with you. We're praying for a quick and speedy recovery. The disabled husband, Father, you are able to recalculate. You're able to recalibrate. You're able to fix that disability. You are able to do some things in that house. Father, Kathy, she needs a quick deliverance, a quick healing, a quick recovery with no complications, a quick recovery in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Dale now has a new specialist who is searching out the source of his sciatic pain.
Yes.
Jesus.
Sciatica. I hear that's rough. Father, your blood covers that sciatica. Your blood covers that healing. Your blood covers that deliverance. What you got,
Jesus? Stefan's in-laws were rear-ended, I think it's saying, and John has a cracked vertebral.
Oh, vertebrae. Yes. Oh, my God. Jesus. Father, in spite of the cracked vertebrae, you are able to heal. You are able to put things back together the way they belong. You are able to heal and deliver that family, not just physical and not only spiritual, but financially, and the things that they are in need of, you are able to replace what's necessary and to give them what they need. Hallelujah.
And that, it sounds like Susan was in the car with them and she's been released. So I just wanted to say the
Susan, remember what God did for you. Yes. Remember what God did for you. How it could have turned out a different way, but God allowed it to turn out this way. Mm-hmm. Don't let this become a missed opportunity. Hallelujah. Glory to his name.
We are praying for little Nico.
Nico.
The new doctor will remove the track on
the trach.
On 9/16.
Oh.
We will stay for 3 days to make sure he is breathing well on his own.
Yes. Father God, in the name of Jesus, little Nico belongs to you.
Yes, Lord.
Your child. You told us in Psalms that it is you that have made us and not we ourselves. You said that. So if you made us, we must be your property. We must belong to you. We must have some connection to you. Nico belongs to you, yeah, because you said it is you that had made him and not we ourselves. That makes sense, that he belongs to you. We need you to heal him. Yeah. Yours. He's not a stranger. He's not a foreigner. He's yours. Heal, kishon, and deliver.
That same family, yes. Grandma Louise is still dealing from hip surgery,
uh-huh,
and hopes to go home by August 6th.
Grandma, we are praying for you in the, yes, name of Jesus, because God can inject you with some strength that's out of this world.
Yes.
He can make you feel like you're 22 again. God can fix it. God can do it. Sometimes we tie God's hands. We think, well, God won't do that. Yeah, I've never seen that done. God won't do that. Well, be the first.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Be the first. What's wrong with being the first one healed? The first one delivered?
Yeah.
The first one that's running track at 90? What's wrong with being the first?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. I ain't never seen it. Well, Lord, let somebody see it through me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I ain't mad at God. Come on, let's do this thing.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
God can do anything.
Thank you, Jesus.
And everything.
Yes.
Because he's God.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Is that it with the prayer?
That is for the prayer. I just would like to publicly pray for Pastor Jeff.
Yes, yes,
amen.
Yes, yes.
All in agreement for his healing.
Amen.
The Lord is showing some, just a little bit.
Progress.
A little bit,
that going in the right direction.
Going in the right direction.
Amen. Well, we prayed for him earlier this morning.
Oh, okay.
Amen.
Yeah.
But
Jeff sandwich, because the Lord must have called for.
Amen.
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 Okay.
I need everybody.
Jesus.
If you know Pastor Jeff, raise your hand. If you don't know Pastor Jeff, raise your hand.
Yeah.
If you wish you knew Pastor Jeff, raise your hand.
Amen.
If you're going to meet Pastor Jeff in the cloud party, raise your hand.
Amen.
That should cover just about everybody.
Amen. I do like what she said, that he likes to preach with passion.
Yeah, I get it.
Connecting the spirit.
Girl, I mean, Jeff, Brother Jeff, Brother Pastor Reverend Jeff, I get it.
Amen.
Passion. If you don't preach this with passion, then you're just reading notes.
Yes, yes.
Amen. You will take a date out and have a passionate dinner. You'll look at a movie with passion. But you come to God with crib notes. That ain't right. If you're not doing this with passion, then you're doing it wrong. Amen. Oh, it's just something I do. Then you need to stop doing it. Amen.
Amen.
God wants passion. It's a relationship. It's a relationship, and that's what people don't get. God wants passion. He wants hot passion. It's relationship. Hug me like you ain't never hugged nobody before. Plant one on me like you, I just got back from Nam. Do something. God wants passion. Don't your spouse want passion?
Yes.
Even though they don't expect it every day, they expect it every now and then. A little something, something don't hurt nobody. Passion. God wants passion. And if God is ho-hum to you, you may not be going where you think you're going. Amen. I'm just saying. You can have passion for your car. People have passion for their car. Every night before they put it to bed, they're wiping it off. People have passion for their sports teams. The shirts, the jersey, the hat, the earmuff, the boots, the water bucket, whatever you got when you're in sport. They're passionate about stuff, but when it comes to God, there's just something I do on Sunday. Clock in and clock out. If you don't, I'm thinking that if you don't have a passion for God, then you don't really have a relationship with God. That's just me. I didn't read that anywhere. That's just coming from Pastor Ben 5 and 8. Okay, that's just me. But if you're in a relationship and you've been saved for 30 years and there ain't no heat between you and that, you might want to start looking for something else. Because that ain't working. God, if you've been in Christ for 50 years and you ain't never had a passionate moment with him, you ain't doing it right. Find a different church, find a different set of beliefs. Stop hanging out with whoever you're hanging out with.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart.
Oh! Love the Lord with all, thank you, Julie. Love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. That's passion. And if you're not doing it like that, you might not be what you think you are. Amen. Let's have some communion, y'all. Y'all come around here. Bring that table up here, please.
Pastor,
yes, sir.
Can I do one prayer?
Absolutely.
A friend of ours named Ivan, his father passed yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So
yes.
He's already going through a lot of attacking.
Ivan, in the name of Jesus, I get it. I get it. And no matter what the relationship was with your father, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, mediocre, hot, cold, it was still your father. It was still, you still came from him. If it wasn't from him, you wouldn't be here, at least not the way you are. It's still your daddy. And I get it. We're praying for your strength. We're praying for your healing. We're praying for your deliverance. And not just you, but all of those that were affected by his life and are now being affected by his death. We send praises up for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Pastor, hand me my Bible and my glasses. We might go a couple minutes over. How much time we
have?
9 minutes?
Yeah.
We might make it. Thank you. Amen. There's only a handful of people here because, you know, we closed. So if you're taking communion, come over here. Amen. If you're taking communion, come on, come on, sit. Come on, folks. Now, the communion scriptures are that scriptures that we're reading is in 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 32. However, I want to read verse number 28 first before we go into the other scriptures. Amen? Are y'all listening? So in 1 Corinthians 11, 28, it says, everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. Now, when it talks about, it says everyone that, without, I'm sorry, for everyone ought to examine themselves, everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat and drink of this cup, for those that eat and drink without discerning. So if you're eating and drinking without honoring God, if you're eating and drinking of this cup without recognizing who God is, I want Asia to make sure to serve her too, without recognizing who God is, if you're eating and drinking in a manner unworthy of the presence of God, you are eating and drinking damnation unto yourself. And you do not deserve the Lord's Supper. Now let me read it again. For those who eat and drink without honoring God, without recognizing God, in an unworthy manner, you are eating and drinking damnation or judgment unto yourself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. Or in another translation, weak, sick, and have died. You cannot, listen, just because you don't know God's law and God's rules does not nullify God's law and God's rule regarding you. It is your job to know what God says in his scriptures. That's your job. As a believer, one-on-one, with a relationship with God, it's your job to know that you must do this. When you take communion, you must take it honoring God with your life, not just with your lips. When you do this, you need to recognize that this is a real thing. And God ordained this, and he is not playing. And if you're eating and drinking this, and you know you're not worthy, you know you have sin still in your life, you know that you're not repentant, you know you're not trying to get this right, and you take it anyway, that's on you. Amen, somebody. That is why, okay, so verse number 31. But if we are more discerning with regarding to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment, discerning. So if we would examine ourselves, discerning, we would not be judged by God in this way. If we examine our own lives, we will not have to be judged by God. Amen? Now, let's go back up to the top. I did that first so that if there's anything in your atmosphere, whenever you take this, get it right before you take it. You may think it's just a ritual, but it is important to God. Otherwise, he wouldn't have wrote it in his scripture. Yeah. Now, verse number 23. For I have received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. For the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So may I have some bread? Oh, thank you. Righteous Father, in the name of Jesus, for every person that currently and will be joining us in this communion service, we're praying that they will understand that this is important, that what you went through was real, that your laws and your rules are still standing, and that we must examine ourselves, ask for forgiveness before we do anything as important as this. But as we have asked for forgiveness already, and as we have forgiven others because you have forgiven us, we honor you with this bread. Let us break it together and let us eat. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, the new promise, the new contract, the new agreement, the new covenant in my blood, in God's blood. This is a contract, an agreement in blood, God's blood. Don't play this cheap. This is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Whenever you drink this cup, you are testifying of your faith.
Yes.
That one day we will actually have the wine with Christ together. Because he said he was not going to eat or drink until we get up there. But every time you do it, you're reminding yourself and others like you of the promise that he made and the seriousness of his word. And as we pray blessings over this and those that are and those that will and those that are to come, we pray and we give thanks in Jesus' name. Let us hold our cups up, whatever you have, and let us commune together. The Lord said, even if you don't have the juice, you can use water. Pray over the water that the Lord will bless it as. And he said it will be the same thing.
Amen.
Thank you so much for being a part of this prayer service and this communion. We give praise to honor. We give praise and honor to the Most High God. I pray that your prayers have been addressed. And if you still need prayer, if you still need us to pray with you and for you, email us at s4cprayingwithyou@aol.com, or send your email to s4ctroops@aol.com. Send it to Janelle, send it to Abigail, send it to one of the pastors, send it to somebody. And if we don't pray for you on air, we have an amazing prayer team that stretches in different areas of the country. We have a prayer team that will be praying for you. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Pastor Sandy will be up soon. Amen.